It's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Midweek, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3, September the 24th, 2025. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo here. Joined alongside me is Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Catt. We are at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm, where we got you for the next 2 hours. A packed program with a couple guests on the docket, including Chris Swagger, the Kaiser University Athletic Director, who will join us in just about 20 minutes. We got the host of Get Up on ESPN, former radio host on ESPN Radio. It is Mike Greenberg, who is promoting his book. We will talk about that into the second hour, some team Mount Rushmores, including the Dolphins Mount Rushmore. So put some thought into that in the meantime. And also, the 2026 Hall of Fame inductee nominees were out. It was a big day yesterday in baseball. Mike's Guardians stole one against the Detroit Tigers. They are now controlling their own destiny in the playoff race. The Mets survived, and the Reds lost. So then they are in a good spot in terms of keeping their playoff hopes alive. The Blue Jays had lost to the Red Sox. So the Yankees are now a game closer to that number one overall seed in the American League. You got a lot to look forward to over the next week. You get the Ryder Cup, which are the opening ceremony just about right now. And the actual festivities will begin this weekend over at Bethpage Black up in Long Island. So this is as good of a sports weekend as you could possibly imagine, with some good college football, good NFL, Ryder Cup, and good baseball. It's almost too much to watch. I'm in the market for now a new TV, and I think I figured out the route I'm going to do it, Mike. I think I'm getting a new TV that is going to be a permanent ad.
Okay.
I will only use occasionally.
I actually, you know what? I was going to get on your case about that today. The fact that you wouldn't take my quote unquote charity of borrowing my television and my Xbox One.
Right. But I need another screen for this
weekend.
If
this is a permanent thing, I'm all for it. You're growing. You know, you're growing. You're growing as a person. You're getting your second screen.
I have no choice.
What do you mean you have no choice? It's part of what we do to make sure we're informed. You know, and trust me, you reminded me when Christian and I decided not to watch you at the tennis U.S. Open. Or what was it?
The French Open.
There you go. Yeah, even worse.
Well, yeah, right.
But yeah, it's our job to be informed. And you need to be informed on everything. I like the second TV. So let me get this straight. Now you can watch playoff baseball on that and the big college football and NFL
this
games
weekend,
on Sunday and Saturday.
One TV is going to have Ryder Cup the whole time. Football will be primary TV. And then the computer will be baseball. And luckily, I'll be able to bounce around between TV A with the football, Ryder Cup stays, and then we're all good on the baseball because it's easy to bounce around and get multiple games on the screen.
But now, you instead of going multi-box, brother, big screen. You know, 40-inch, big screen. You know, you're going to be able to
talk
about
for NFL Sundays?
Yeah, for anything. Brother, for anything.
Yeah, I only quad box on NFL Sundays.
Well, perfect. Now you can watch the Jags on the main screen and quad box on the 40.
I'm going to quad box in the main screen, and I do Jags on the 40? On the close screen, usually, because I like to be like right in front of the screen.
Perfect.
Dude, we'll figure it out.
You're grown as a person.
I'm not going more than two.
Yeah,
this
you
is
will.
It.
This
no,
is
I'm
the
not.
Start. This
no,
is the no, start of something
This is not
special.
A gateway. This is not a
Dude,
gateway.
Wait to it, when you, you know, if you ever decide to come over and visit when I invite you, when you walk into the Rizzo family apartment, you know, Zazzo's going to call it the family mansion, the Rizzo family apartment. On an NFL Sunday or a college football Saturday when I'm not working in or Miami, when we got all five screens, brother, you're gonna be in sports heaven. It's not gonna be, oh Mike, there's too many places to sit and too many screens. You're gonna sit there like a fourth grader and go, oh
nope. Two screens.
And it's you're just gonna be starstruck
it's
by the
just
setup.
Because the next month you're gonna need multiple screens occupied at one time.
Especially next month with how good the baseball was.
Well, you're
going to
have baseball with the postseason starting. You're going to have a big weekend, probably Tigers and Red Sox. If the Astros keep losing, who knows?
Yeah.
But if that might be for their playoff live, so that's number one. So you're going to have some important series to watch. And then on top of that, the Ryder Cup, you can't move it because that starts at 7 a.m. No. And that's going to stay all day.
No.
So now good news is there's nothing on in the first 5 hours of the day, so you could just do Ryder Cup. But once that starts, especially on Sunday, it's going to be Jags 4 o'clock, the 4 o'clock slate of football quad box. You're going to have the Ryder Cup, and you're going to have the baseball.
I'm honestly, like, 888-760-3776. What are the setups like this weekend? I want to hear the setups. Are you multi-screening? Kyle, you ordering food? You getting wings? You getting
I'm not the type. I'm not the type.
What?
I don't know.
What do you mean
you're not spending a lot of money recently, so I'm trying to, like, you know, we're saving money.
Oh, trust you, dude. It's expensive.
Yeah. Here, Kyle. I know. Well, no, it's just generally post-Ironman stuff, too. Like, that's a lot of money that I did not have.
Now, you just told me it's something that stuck out to me. You said you got nothing on in the early hours. That's just not true. You're an Arsenal fan now.
Oh, it's true. I got the Arsenal game on.
Not even that. I need you, Kyle. Kyle, I'm going to give you some homework on the Prem. You know, you gave Christian.
I'm just watching Arsenal. I'm just watching Arsenal.
You gave Christian and I homework on
some
tennis.
I'm not watching United. Okay? I'm not watching United.
You don't have to watch United. I just want you, you know.
I'll watch Arsenal.
Who's top of the table right now? Do you know?
City.
Liverpool.
Tomato, tomato.
It's okay. But anyway, yeah, you know, you need to know some things like that if you're going to be an Arsenal fan. So Arsenal just tied City.
Right.
At the Emirates.
I did see that.
So, you know, you needed all three, but, you know, because Liverpool is unstoppable right now. But regardless, Kyle, you always got something to watch.
I'll watch the Arsenal game in the morning and then alongside the Ryder
Cup.
That will be small screen.
I am so happy that you are starting to grow as a young adult.
This is not growth.
Yes, it is. It's growth.
Back against the wall. I got no choice. No. Yes. This is an adapt. This is not taking a step back because I have to.
Next thing we need in the Russo family apartment is another couch,
kitchen table. No, we do not.
You need a couch.
Waste of time. That will never happen.
You need a love seat. Maybe a kitchen table.
I have the recliner I've always had. I have that. That's basically a love seat.
We need an updated picture of the Russo apartment.
I could send you that once I get this new TV in play.
I need to see what I'm working with.
I'll send you a picture.
I know you don't have a coffee table.
A coffee table was donated to me.
Oh, yeah, by Jess Welke.
Yes.
Our teammate here at ESPN was.
Right. So I was fortunate enough and grateful that she was able to give
me one. Do you have a hassock?
A what?
A hassock.
A what?
It's basic. So it's something you could put your feet up when you're on the couch. It's like a...
Coffee table.
No.
Like an ottoman.
There you go. Midwest. My mother called it a hassock.
All right. I've never heard that before.
Anyway, must be a Midwest thing. Do you have a hassock to where people can put their feet up when they're on the couch?
I will never buy one of those.
Why?
Because that is a waste of money.
No, it's not. Don't you want to be comfortable?
Put your feet up.
Yeah.
How about this? My couch reclines.
Okay, I guess.
Why would I buy an ottoman when I get that?
How do you put your feet up? Do you have the thing that comes out?
Do you know what a recliner?
I do. Do you have? But does it have legs where it comes out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair play.
So you're good.
Fair play. But you only have that singular couch. There's no. It's not an L shape.
I have a couch that can seat three, and then I have the recliner I have, and then I have a lawn chair just in case for a rainy day.
Okay.
Lawn chair is not even set up.
I mean, let's see. It's Wednesday. I'm trying to get you set up for the weekend here.
I'm good. I don't need more places to sit.
Yeah, we do.
I don't need a kitchen table. I have a TV table that I could use to eat food.
But you had like your whole fraternity here the last time, and they had nowhere to sit.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, the whole fraternity
six months ago.
Right, and
word this properly. I had four or five people visit.
You got to get straight. Colin was the president of that damn fraternity in Wisconsin, too.
I was not.
You're head of the social chair.
I had five guys visit me, and I have two.
There's someone sleeping on the lawn,
I have two blow-up mattresses, and I borrowed another blow-up.
I heard a kid was sleeping on the balcony.
No, I don't have a balcony.
It's sleeping on the patio.
That he could have done that if he needed to.
Wow.
But no, we had two. I have enough places to sleep. That's okay. We're okay there for four or five people.
So
more than that, we were running into issues.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's growth by you that you're getting the second screen. You got cornered, Kyle. You had no choice. You had to get the second screen. Now we work on, you know, building it out. You know, maybe we work on a TV in the room. An entertainment dresser.
Do you have? I have an entertainment system. I do not have a dresser.
And the clothes are just in the closet.
Yeah, there's the shelves. There's like the built-in shelves to the wall, so I'm okay. I don't need anything more than that.
Wow.
And they have the hanger thing feature too.
That's crazy. I got a nightstand.
You know how much dressers? I mean, you know how difficult dressers are to move. Either you buy one, you got to build it, and those are expensive, or you got to buy one off somebody.
What I did,
and it's this godforsaken dresser from 1778, and you got to, you know, transport it.
Do you want to know what I did? I got all my stuff, and I actually went to a website and had someone come over and put it together for like $150.
Right. I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Why not?
Because I don't need a dresser. If I needed, you know, if I needed somebody to build a bed, yeah, I might call somebody.
I told
to do
you
that.
The story in Peoria, right? How I had a girl over and she walked out because I had nothing in the apartment. Are you afraid of something like that happening?
For a dresser, no. I don't think a dresser is going to be the Mike. I have a bed frame. You had a mattress on the floor.
Correct.
And like a candle, and that was. This is not that.
I
have a carpet, an area rug.
All right, good. So you remember you told me that was a waste of time about
a total waste of time. It was a waste of a buy. No, but I do have one.
You needed it.
It was a waste of. What happens? It was a waste of a buy
when things slop on the floor. You could just vacuum it up.
Yeah, but it's a waste of time.
Got a vacuum?
Yeah, I have a dustbuster like a grandmother has. Perfect. The handheld ones.
Yeah,
great.
No, wait, you don't have.
No, I don't have like the big guy. That's like, you know, waist high. I have the handheld one.
No, well,
you know the handheld ones?
I do. Of course I do. That's a waste. They talk about a waste of time.
Mike, it was like $18. No,
your dad came down here and goes, "The floors are disgusting."
No.
Now I know why, cuz you don't have a vacuum.
I have a Swiffer.
That you don't use.
I use a Swiffer. I probably do the floors once. I'm going to be honest here. Probably once a month.
Dude. Go to like a thrift store, those old school like Orvec vacuums.
Yeah, those things don't die. Those things don't die. Maybe I'll do
my Papa Chuck's from that. I think he had it when he was in the Navy.
Yeah, maybe I'll do something vacuum. Like that. I can see. I'm not getting a new vacuum. New vacuums are a waste of time.
Why?
Because no, I don't need
So you're going to get on your hands and knees with a dustbuster? You know how insane that sounds?
I've been doing it for a year.
Dude,
so
get
no
a
problem.
Vacuum, plug it into the wall and go.
Hold on, it has a little charging station, dustbuster. And you leave it on there, and it's charged, it's ready to rock and roll, and then you're good.
Dude, every Sunday, I vacuum the apartment.
Yeah, you know the things I have to vacuum are the area rug, and then everything else is Swiffer territory, and then, of course, the kitchen. The kitchen's not big. The kitchen's like 8 square feet. So from that, I'm okay.
I don't know, Kyle.
And all surface cleaning is done via, you know, sponge and rags and stuff like that.
Correct,
it's not done on the floor.
I just feel like the Orvec, the old school, and that's a setting. My grandfather was a handyman.
Oh, okay.
And he created
a vacuum guy.
He created like a setting on the vacuum to where you got it for the floor and you got it for the carpet. Dude, you need a vacuum. I'm sorry.
I don't need a vacuum.
I'm breaking down vacuums because you need a vacuum.
I have a vacuum.
No, you don't. You have a dust devil.
I have the dustbuster. Those work. It's completely fine.
I'd pay to see you get on your hands and knees and like try to.
It happens.
Vacuum up your slop.
I'd probably go area
chicken and rice.
All the way down. I'd probably do that twice a week.
If your mother comes and visits you, do you feel comfortable with going to your apartment?
She knows that I have the dustbuster, and she has no problem with it.
I find that hard to believe. Dude.
She has no problem with it.
I find that hard to believe.
She has no problem with it.
Okay.
She goes, have the dustbuster, you're good to go.
Fair.
And then I got a trash can. I got the entertainment system, which was a waste of money, by the way.
No, it wasn't. You had to put your TV on something.
It was like $100.
Put the TV on something.
Right.
Where's this? Is the second monitor on the floor now? Or do you got...
I haven't bought it yet.
But
I have the coffee table. I'm going to put the coffee table to the side. So no more coffee table in the center of the room.
All right, so you need a coffee table now. Because you got to be able to leave
I have some. A coffee table.
But it's going to be holding the TV.
Yeah.
But that TV is going to be there permanently.
It's going to be the TV table. It's going to be the new coffee table, which is like a singular... That's for one. That's not for two. One person will deal with that.
I don't know, Kyle.
You following what I'm saying?
It sounds like the 40 inches entertainment stand is your coffee table that our teammate Jess gave you.
That will be the case.
So now when you go to eat something, you're back on your lap.
Lap or I have the TV table, which is like this. It's like a foot by a foot. It's like a foot by a foot. Yeah, it's up.
What happens when you have guests over and multiple people need to eat?
We're gonna figure that out when that happens. Yeah, I'm not hosting many steak dinner parties, so I mean we should
might have a date. What happens if you got a date? Hot date? You got an island kitchen table?
No.
No. I got one of those.
I don't have an island.
It came with the apartment.
You don't buy an island.
I didn't need to get the kitchen table.
That's a renovation. Yeah. Right?
So, yeah.
It's a block. It's part of the kitchen. It's got, like, the big tiles on it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But, like, I have, like, my oven area, my microwave, where the coffee goes, and then I have my table with barstool chairs. You have barstool chairs for your table?
No, I don't have an island.
Okay. Well, you need a kitchen table, then.
I don't need a kitchen table. What do I need a kitchen? That, I think, is a waste of time.
If you have a date, you bring her over. Cook her some signature Colin Russo chicken and rice.
You hungry for ground turkey?
on, man. It shows character.
It does.
It shows discipline.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But you need somewhere to sit.
I'm a creature of habit. I eat the same thing every day.
It's easy. So you need somewhere to sit.
I could sit on the couch.
With the significant other?
Oh, well. When we come to that point, we're going to figure it out.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm trying to get all base covered here. I can't be overprepared. That's a waste of time. I don't need to be overprepared. That's overprepared. You're prepared for a battalion. The army comes through and they need somewhere to stay and Mike can host them.
You know how much family I got and how often they're down here. I got to make sure I got the spot, right? I'm not going to have my brother pay. Granted, he's got the money.
Yeah, but you're not having everybody coming in at one time. You got two or three people max at a time.
Yeah, but still.
You can host.
Two or three people.
You could host a football team. No, they don't need to stay down in Miami. They stay at yours.
I got two air mattresses. I got a couch that could sleep two.
You got seven couches. You got five screens.
I have two.
You got three islands.
Realistically.
You have four ovens.
Realistically. I have two love seats, a couch that could sit about four that could sleep two. I have my gaming setup. Dude, I got this. It's my Uncle Jamie says. I got the setup.
And you have a kitchen table, with chairs.
Got the setup.
You have a kitchen table with chairs, and you have an island with bar stools.
No, the island with bar stools is a kitchen table, but then I have my coffee table and my hassock. The hassock to where people can put their feet up on the couch.
The ottoman.
The ottoman. The ottoman. Wow. Sorry. Wendy.
How many bar stools do you have?
Two.
That's one, two, three, gaming setup. Do you have another desk in your room?
No. I have two nightstands. I was prepared.
Why do you need two nights?
Never know, you know? Never know. What do you mean, dude?
Never mind. Come on, mate.
Come on, mate.
Chris Swager, the Kaiser University Athletic Director, will be, I believe, in the house joining us on Russo and Rizzo coming up on the flip side. But you can listen to us. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to all of our coverage on the ESPN South Florida app. It's available for free on the App Store. Go download it today. And you can listen to Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. You can listen to our high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast on Friday nights. You can listen to anything away from the radio, away from the streams, away from everything on social media, because it's all going to be in your pocket on the app. That includes Inter-Miami English and Spanish. That includes all the great games that we have covered right here, including Kaiser University football. That includes everything, all South Florida. Get all the beats on the South Florida app. Go download today, ESPN South Florida. Kaiser University Athletic Director Chris Swager in the house. We'll do a little Ask the AD on the other side. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
We're sitting in at the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. You've been there, car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, fell on the stairs, got rear-ended on the highway like Mike did. Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type that fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They could get yours too, and they don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Catt. We're at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We got him in the house. He's got his kids' headphones, which are, you know, it's formatted like the Blues Clues or, you know, Monsters, Inc. Let's do a little Ask the AD with Chris Swager.
It's time to Ask the AD. Kaiser University Athletic Director Chris Swager joins Russo and Rizzo to talk all things college sports, the latest on Kaiser athletics and more. Ask the AD is presented by Kaiser Seahawks Athletics. Learn more at KUSeahawks.com.
Kaiser University Athletic Director Chris Swager in the house with us in the City Play Studios. Chris, nice headphones. How you doing?
Thank you. You would think for the worldwide leader in sports, you guys would have a better headphone collection than...
We do not. That is true.
Yeah.
Our headphone collection here stinks.
My dad has a rule. If you work in the business and are on the air, you got to have your own headphones. Got to have your own headphones. Chris, you're part of the show. You got to have your own headphones.
He has his own headphones.
Yeah, I don't know that these will be mine forever, but they were left over. My daughter's upgraded to Beats. She's in middle school, so this is what I found in the house.
Those are the headphones that you wear when you're like, you know, determining what a triangle is
on an iPad. Chris, those are the headphones I see on airplanes when you got iPad kids doing their thing.
Hey, they work.
Okay, fair play.
I'm more of an AirPod person, but obviously you can't do the Bluetooth that doesn't work. Yeah.
We're old school.
Yep.
Chris, what's been going on with Kaiser University, the fall sports season?
Everything's good. So just got back from, we played University of the Cumberland. So that's about an hour north of Knoxville, Tennessee. So just got back this past weekend. Had a big 30-point win over them.
And you traveled for that?
Yeah. Mm. And then women's soccer held number one in the polls. Men's soccer moved up to number nine. So and football came in at number two. So far, three teams in the top 10. Getting ready. Football's got a bye week.
Yeah, they got a home game next weekend, correct?
Yep, home game next weekend against Thomas. Hopefully we get in more than a quarter this week. That'd be nice. And then women's soccer is actually heading up to Southeastern in the middle of state today. Men's soccer wrapped up with a 4-0 win about a couple hours ago. So everything's good.
Did you like Knoxville more than you like Indianapolis?
Knoxville was a bigger city than I thought. I'll be honest. Like, I was not expecting the size of the city.
Is that a positive connotation?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, not to go all the way back to that, but I love visiting college towns, like walking campuses and just seeing how they're different. And I was not thinking Knoxville was going to be as big as it was from the city perspective. I mean, normally it's, you know, you figure you've got
an SEC school, you know, in the South. Yeah, you don't expect much.
Well, no, not so much that. But a lot of college towns are just a college. It seemed that there was a lot more there. So it was interesting.
And this is a guy who went to Indianapolis.
Hated every second of it.
And said he saw barn animals walking in the city.
I didn't see people is what I said. I did not see people walking in the city.
I dropped off in the middle of a crop circle with barn animals. Yeah.
Seeing
okay?
the dust collection, right, you know, go across the road. Right. You know? Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Well, Chris, a lot has gone on in college sports. You're a Florida State fan, so Florida State, Miami. I have a bit of a clash, top 10 clash coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend. Miami beat Florida pretty handedly over the weekend. We haven't seen a ton from Florida State in terms of strength of schedule competition since Alabama. Are you afraid of Miami?
No. I mean, that game was, 17-7 in the fourth quarter, and then the wheels fell off. So, no, it'll be a good game. It's a good test. So
a good test? Yeah. Like it's a tune-up game?
No, like a good test to see where they're at. I mean, with Alabama, you'll start to see who they are coming up because they're starting to get, you know, into their conference schedule. But
Georgia
really,
this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, at this point of the season is where I think teams – you can start. I mean, honestly, this is where I think ranking should start is coming up.
Fair enough. Chris, no worries. First true road game against Virginia on Friday. I got like a lot of Florida State alum here in the office that are a little scared of that game.
No, hey, if you
Miami's got a bye and you guys got a game.
Yeah.
If you want to be good, you have to beat teams like Virginia Tech. I mean, you can't be scared of those teams. They're a good team. They're solid. Friday Night Lights. Yeah, I mean, I got my stuff ready for Friday night. I love Friday games. Okay. Opens up Saturday a lot more, so yeah, I'm excited.
All right. Well, I personal
your
opinion,
favorite touchdown Tommy's going to be going off. So,
not TikTok Tommy anymore.
It's not TikTok Tommy. Is he going to make it? That he loses, and they're not going to go undefeated. I'm assuming that first game that they lose. If he stinks in a game, Mike and I will be your first text.
Okay, that's fine.
Because we know
you've been right. I'll give you credit right now. You've been right. Now, the fact that you're not as worried for that Miami game is surprising because I think Miami, first 4 weeks, has been the best team in the country with the two wins that they've had, USF and even Notre Dame in week one. And listen, Beck, I think that game against Florida, Chris, Beck played awful, and they were still able to win convincingly. They ran the ball for about 200 yards, and the defense played well. So I think Miami proved that they could win even when their quarterback plays bad.
Beck's doing a lot better than I thought he would do. Obviously, there's a lot in the offseason with him being injured and not throwing in the spring.
Right.
But again, if your goal is to compete for championships, you have to play tough teams and teams to get you ready for the playoffs. So not that, you know, the 70-6 win isn't great, but that gets kind of old and you need to kind of sharpen your teeth a little bit and play good teams. And at the end of the day, you need to compete because, you know, most likely the way it's looking right now, it's probably going to be Miami and Florida State playing again later this year. So I think it's a good game to judge yourself. But win or lose, it's not the end of your season.
How surprised are you about Clemson? You know, the favorite going in for the ACC.
I'm surprised with the amount of returners they had. So, you know, everyone's talking about Dabo not wanting to go to the portal and all this stuff. You know, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with them reinvesting their NIL money in the team they have. But the fact that I think they had 14 or 15 starters coming back is a little surprising as far as what's not clicking. Because you would think, even against Troy, they were
down 16-3 in the first half.
They were bored, right? Yeah. So that's the odd part. I will say this. I think what doesn't get enough credit, you know, I mean, with coaching changes and stuff, is how the staff is built below the coach. So as you start to lose assistant coaches, position coaches, I think there's a huge, there's something big to that. I mean, like, look at Florida State this year. By adding, you know, the assistant coaches on or offensive and defensive coordinator, you see the team operate in a different way, the function. So, I mean, it's not necessarily just the head coach. And Clemson over the last 5 to 10 years, is, I mean, Virginia's head coach came from Clemson.
Yeah, and then even to add to that, Oklahoma and Venables. I mean, Venables was the best defensive coordinator in the country for about 5 years. I mean, you know, Kirby before he went to Georgia, but I totally get it.
Yeah, like, the Bill's offensive coordinator was OC at Clemson. I mean, they've lost people, and I'm not saying that's the only reason, but you start – I mean, that's – again, I love Bobby Bowden, but that's why I think Saban is the greatest college football coach ever, because the amount of people that he lost year after year after year.
Who are not only successful coaches, but he also replaced them with then future successful coaches.
Right, but the fact that you're having that turnover – and being able to keep it together is that's super impressive.
Yeah, and Clemson, who brought in a new defensive coordinator this year, they're sort of like the last sort of cult of college football. Like, you know, it used to be about program and like stability, stay. Nobody leaves Clemson. That's right. That's kind of their thing. And
well, next year they might.
Yeah, next year. Yeah, we'll see about next year. But I mean, that hasn't the exodus hasn't necessarily happened to them like it happens to everybody else. So they have been a big surprise. I was dead wrong. Hand up. I thought that team, like you, was going to be really good because they won 9 games last year. I mean, they won the ACC title and then they returned everybody. And then now they're terrible. And we're going to be flirting with bowl season with them. So that's a big problem there. And I'm curious on moving on from coaches. You mentioned the actual coaching staff, but what about the guy at the top? Mike Gundy, who is the second longest tenured college football coach at Oklahoma State, was fired in the midst of his 21st season with the team. 1-2 start. They got rid of him mid-season. Somebody who, you know, brought that program into relevancy, was, a 20 straight, 18 straight bowl game appearances. That team was, you know, had a couple really great years. And they sort of got rid of him quickly and sort of like just cut it off at the head. And I was curious, from somebody with an athletic director's eye, is that something that you would have done in that situation, mid-season firing? Do you sort of wait because of, unless there's a big scandal on hand?
Yeah, I mean, typically you don't want to fire anyone mid-season.
You avoid that at all costs.
You're essentially giving up on the season unless you have someone in the wings who is the replacement who you want to kind of
give a rip to
see, is that the person that you're going to go with? I mean, obviously if there's something egregious, if the team quits, I mean, there's only, I think, a few reasons why you would do it. One of which would be, hey, we're not going to get any better. We're moving on. Let's see if the next guy up, we're going to hire him. Again, something egregious, something like, you know, someone's violating policies or just doing something that you can't get around.
We haven't heard that. That's my thing.
But okay, so Gundy has had issues over the past 20 years.
Sure.
Right? Now, winning solves that. So I think, you know, his personality, some people love it. You know, I've heard some stuff where he'd be great for radio. Just he has that kind of...
He's a flair personality.
Yeah. So, when everything's going great, it's going great. But that also has people waiting in the wings when it isn't to say, hey, we need to move on.
Yeah.
Obviously, something happened there. You know, they had a bad season last year. You know, in any situation, the toughest part about all this is you feel bad for the kids, because when you, especially 4 games into the season, again, could it turn around? Maybe, but more often than not, it doesn't.
You're calling the season a wash.
You're kind of giving up on the whole year.
And
which,
you give them opportunities to leave, and then all of a sudden you're looking around.
Well, it's not even that. It's just they're losing a year of time, and your body doesn't get younger. You're not, you know, it doesn't work that way. So you don't get that time back. So that always sucks. You know, I think the one thing that, I mean, we, you know, really don't have to deal with it at our level, but especially at that level, what always is amazed me is the buyouts. So, I mean, I think his buyout was $15 million, which isn't crazy for that level, but anytime you're doing a buyout thing, you know, you better have a really good reason, because it never pays to pay someone to not coach your team. You know, so that's always kind of blown my mind. And you're down a coach, regardless of what you want to say about a person, there's still a coach on the staff that now you're down. So game prep, you know, kind of getting ready, everything you have to do is out the window. Now, if they had their guy in the wings, they've had conversations, and they feel like if we don't move now, someone's going to take him. You know, if there's a potential coaching candidate that may go to another school,
right?
You know, that could work, but I think you got to be sure on that with whatever agent or coach you're dealing with, because it could backfire.
For 21 years, too, he was the head coach. They're going to have their offensive coordinator serve as the interim in the time period. But I've always found that interesting when schools decide to, because you're right. With the buyout, there's a financial contribution, there's a culture contribution, there's a school-wide confidence contribution that goes into making this type of move, especially this early in the year, because you're calling quits. All right, this is it. Now we're in experimental time, especially for somebody who, yeah, polarizing, but is a beloved figure in that community. He is the figurehead of Oklahoma State.
Let's be honest. When you think Oklahoma State, you think of Barry Sanders and Mike Gundy.
Yeah. So, and making that move, and the reason I bring this up is because a lot of schools, I think, sometimes get the wrong idea of when they move on from coaches. Sometimes, at least, especially at the college football level, when they're rehiring and they have money and they're a sort of a brand recognition program trying to find that next guy. Miami's a good example of this. Trying to find the guy to bring them back to what they were or to make them into something that they're not. I think sometimes schools get the wrong idea of where they stand in the totem pole trying to replicate Alabama when Oklahoma State's never going to be Alabama.
Right.
Wisconsin did this when they hired Luke Fickell from Cincinnati thinking we're going to become national championship contenders every single year. And now it's blowing up in their face because he tried to make them something that they're not as a program above the coach. And I was curious on your thought on that because it sounds like athletic directors don't necessarily think like that. They think in terms of rings and playoff appearances, and we're going to try our best to keep – there might be some schools, but we're going to try our best to compete at the highest level as best we can.
No, I mean, first of all, everyone – any AD out there would tell you they've made a hire sometimes that they thought was a home run. It didn't work out for whatever reason. So, I mean, that happens, and, I mean, there's committees and search firms that all get it wrong. So, I mean, there's human error. I do think that there are great coaches and bad fits at times. Like the SEC is a good example. I think there's certain coaches that can work in the SEC and other coaches that are great coaches that just it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because your scrutiny is different. The media, even what you do on a day-to-day basis isn't the same as, you know, at a different program. So I think that's a challenge. And the school, the president, the boosters, everyone has to be behind it. I mean, it's hard to state how much having everyone behind you at all times helps with a successful program.
An example of a coach not working in a specific conference is Bielma, right? Mm. I mean, Bielma went from Wisconsin to Arkansas. It never worked at Arkansas. And now, listen, I know they got the doors blown off them by 53 points last week in Indiana, but Bielma has turned Illinois into a respectable program. They're still a top 25 team even after losing. So I think there is something to be said there. And I think a team that kind of learned how hard it is if you don't get the right person is Florida. I still think they're struggling with it. You know, Coach Meyer, you know, let's call it for what it is, and I love Uncle Herb, but, like, you know, he left Florida to go to Ohio State in so many words. He said he stepped out for health reasons and then goes to Ohio State. But they haven't been able to figure that out after Urban. Right. Now, I liked Mullen. I thought Mullen got a bad go at it at Florida. I think they were pretty decent under him, but they have not been able to figure out that coach since the Meyer situation happened. Right. So, If you're a team like Florida, or rather a program like Florida, and you're the athletic director there, and I know that's kind of maybe a weird comparison, but, like, how do you get that back on track? Your best guess is being an AD yourself. How do you get a situation like Florida back on track, who has all the resources, has a huge football community, but just can't get that head coach right?
I mean, I think in a situation like Florida, you have to find someone with the experience in the SEC, right? Just because, you know, just from what you deal with, just what your expectation is. I mean, if you're, and that's why I think coordinators have been successful in the SEC versus bringing a head coach from
another
Power Four,
yeah,
or a different conference, just because what you can look for, what you can request. I mean, you can go to the administration and say, hey, at Georgia, we have this, we need this to win. Like, you have some backing there. If you're coming from a Power Five or Group of Five,
Washington,
it's a little bit more. I mean, let me ask you this question. So, yeah, just what coach from a lower level has gone to a high one and been relatively successful over time?
I mean, Kurt Cignetti is an example at Indiana, but, like, you know, it happens.
But that's still Indiana. That's not, I mean, no offense to Indiana, and they're doing great, but that is a different market than Alabama.
So Freeman played for the Buckeyes. I don't know where he was coaching after.
Right.
He left. I think Freeman might be one of those answers, but
there's more that haven't.
Agreed. I agree. And I like that thing, your point. Now, look at Georgia. Kirby came from a plethora of coaching trees, and recently the Saban one.
Saban,
right.
And
Saban.
It's not that I don't
even
think...
Ryan Day was under, he coached in the NFL and then coached under Urban for years.
Right, and I don't even think it's just the familiarity, but it's also the connections they make. So again, it's about all the people below you So as they go through these programs, as they're hired, I mean, I think that's the, you know, the biggest thing for Norvell this year is the coaching changes have made the big difference.
Yeah.
And obviously they've got different talent and some people that, you know, in different areas that maybe didn't contribute last year are contributing this year. But I think getting those coaches under you and developing the staff is huge. And when you're from those different programs, you have the connections to turn around quickly.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think for Florida, that would be, you know, again, you got a buyout situation. So you got to handle that. And Florida probably has, you know, the money on reserve to take care of it.
But still, it's going to be like the fourth one now. I mean, yep. You go back to Will Muschamp, right?
They're going to give him the year, probably.
Yeah.
I had to assume what Chris was talking about, if you want to upend the whole thing, apparently everybody loves Napier and he's good in the locker rooms and the players like him. There's an obvious point that the players do like him. It sounds like the people in the administration and the athletic department do like him. The coaches like him. He just doesn't coach that well.
So I could see a scenario where if they lose a couple more games and you start to have key players sitting out, which I've heard quarterback is, you know, in a boot and,
yeah, all of a sudden, everybody's got a bad shoulder.
So then I think you start to look at it because now you're kind of recruiting for next year.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, now could you turn it around? You could. But I think in that situation, again, I think if you start to lose the team, if people are starting to leave, if you have those circumstances, you know, then you kind of have to start looking at how do we keep this thing together to when we bring someone in, they have a base.
Right. Because
if the whole thing's gone, again, if you're bringing in a coach that brings their whole team with them, different story. But you know, if you have some key players that you need to keep on, that's what starts going through your head is what can we do to at least keep the core here so whoever we do hire, it's a desirable job and they have something where they can bounce back next year.
And
you're not going to have 2 to 3 more years to rebuild the thing.
No.
To be honest, that's everything you just said there is why Napier is able to stick around, right? The recruits stayed, the guys who he had there that thought about entering
the
portal
stayed. All the pieces
were there. Lagway. I mean, I like that point because – I think that's a big reason Florida bought back into Napier. Now, I got told by, you know, hashtag fans with sources that Lane Kiffin, you know, they wanted Kiffin. And then when Kiffin told him to kick rocks, it's like, okay, well, let's just bring this back again. And that would have fallen under your thing of SEC experience and a guy who's coaching it before. But ultimately, he wanted to stay at Ole Miss, yeah. And that was that.
The expectation is different.
We had a great situation when Coach Socia left. You know, we had Miles Russ, who was here when we started the program. You know, he took over and the culture stayed the same. You know, so it was easier for me because we had that person in place. And you always want to have that backup, right? You always want to have someone who's familiar. So, you know, I think for most of the programs, they want to look for someone who's either been part of that program itself, whether it's a player or as a coach, you bring them back, or someone who's at least familiar with the SEC and kind of the level of play. So, yeah, Kiffin, I could have definitely seen that. I mean, right. The question is, who else? I mean, that's what I was. Who's out there, right? Like, who else would make a good fit?
And that's because you're going to pay a desirable job because they have so much pressure.
Well, you're going to pay a $50 million buyout to go get someone
for $10 million a year.
That if you're not sold on, you may have to buy out again.
Right.
So you better be sure because
and no coach is going there without a 5 to 7 year contract.
Right. So I mean, you want to see it out as far as you can. Again, if you got the guy that. You know, if you know you have the person ready to come in, but even then, it's tough because, you know, there are going to be other, I mean, there's open vacancies now. What, Virginia Tech's open, Ohio, you know, Oregon, Oklahoma State.
Yep.
You know, and there's going to be more throughout the season. So that's a tough one. But again, anytime you're firing someone, again, some of these guys are great coaches just in the wrong spot. You know, they'll bounce back and go somewhere else and you're dealing with, you know, their family and the culture and the relationships they built. So it's a tough decision, but at the same time, especially at that level, it is a business, and that's the decision they have to make.
Chris Swager, the Kaiser University Athletic Director, with us now on Russo and Rizzo. Mr. Swager, fall season is upon us. What's coming up here on the schedule here in the next couple weeks?
Well, we got some big soccer matches. We have one this Saturday with St. Thomas from Miami, so for men's soccer. So that will be coming up at home. Then next Saturday will be our second season opener against Thomas since our first one kind of got washed out.
Yeah, right.
So we'll have that a week from this Saturday. And then we get into our conference season. So then I think we're on the road, and then we're back at it again for 2 straight weeks. And then we start getting into, I mean, homecoming, senior days, you know, all the ring ceremonies that we have at football games, all that stuff's coming up soon. And then soccer, volleyball are getting the heart of their season. And then actually we have basketball, wrestling, swimming, all of our winter sports are getting ready to kick off here in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
So we'll be in the heart of it here in about, by middle November, it gets really, really dicey with schedules, but it's a fun time of year.
And he's a busy man. That's Chris Swagger, the Kaiser University Athletic Director. That was Ask the AD. KUCHawks.com to get more information on that great athletic program. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Big thanks to Chris Swagger, the Kaiser University Athletic Director, helping us out. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We got Mike Greenberg joining us at 5 o'clock. We're going to do a little Mount Rushmore with the Dolphins. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt. Mike Rizzo, you know, keeping your body protected, but also making sure you know what to adjust when you're trying to get healthier. Men's Only Medical is your place to go.
Absolutely. And I actually had a friend reach out to me, Kyle, who said he was watching our stream, our video stream the other day, and said, Riz, you're looking a little trimmer. You know, you look a little trimmer. I have Doc Allen, Men's Only Medical, to thank over on North Dixie Highway. We are focusing on my weight management and nutrition. We sat down, we did my blood work, we figured out exactly what I should be eating according to my blood type, what kind of workouts I should be doing. That is all happening with Doc Al over at Men's Only Medical. Now, it's a concierge healthcare service. So it's doctor on my time, right? This isn't like, oh, I got to wait 2 months to go see my primary. No, with the concierge healthcare service, you get stuff like that over at Men's Only Medical. You could also enhance your well-being and your nutrition, hair loss solutions. Like, obviously, folks, I don't need any of that, but God forbid I start losing my hair, I'm going to be able to get it figured out with my guy, Doc Al. Skin assessment, expert cardiovascular and healthcare for a strong heart, anti-aging, all that stuff over at Men's Only Medical with Doc Al. Doc Al, he's a local guy. You know, went to Cardinal Newman, went to college in Miami. Give him a visit on North Dixie Highway today. That's Men's Only Medical and mensonlymedical.com.
Christian Katt is our producer behind the glass today. Christian, hello. How are you? What's going on?
I have five great topics to deliver to you in today's 5 at 5.
Let's do it. 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked ham.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Earn up to $700 per year with boost checking from Flagler Credit Union. Number one.
Earlier today on Unsportsmanlike, Evan Cohen, in light of the Russell Wilson benching news, Jackson Dart starting news, proclaimed that he's not so sure if Russell Wilson is in the Hall of Fame anymore. Take a listen.
I think Russ played his way into the Hall of Fame at one point. Can you play your way out of the Hall of Fame? I want to dive into that. We have some other things to get to, but I just think the Russell Wilson part of this is interesting. How do you get in and then get taken out? Denver, Pittsburgh, and the Giants. We got to be fair, and I love Russ. Talk about Aaron Rodgers, and CeCe says all the time, we're going to remember the Jets and the Steelers as much or more than we're going to remember the Packers. He's not playing his way out of the Hall of Fame, but I do wonder if Russ may have played himself out of Hall of Fame consideration.
The question simple, is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer if he retired today?
I think he gets in. I do. I think this generation of quarterbacks, the voters are going to tend to be a little bit more lenient because winning a title in the Brady era will mean something.
Yeah.
When Brady and the Patriots dominate for as long as they did, if you were able to steal one, which is why, like, you know, guys like Rivers, you know, stuff, you know, who had more individual accolades and success, but they never got one in the era, that I think will help Wilson. So I think that's actually, and you know, they're a play away from getting two. So getting one in the Brady era, I think, is going to have some weight. And he was the best player. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a bit. He was never the best. I think he'll get in. It'll be tight, though.
He was on the back end of the Golden Age era. You know, I call the Golden Age era Manning, Brady, you know, guys like Rivers, Breeze, you know, who came up together. Eli, Rodgers came later, and then Russ came later. Let's not forget, man, Matt Flynn was brought on to be the quarterback in Seattle. Gave him a contract. And then Pete Carroll took one look at Russell Wilson in training camp and said, yeah, you're my guy. And they went to the playoffs that year, his rookie year. Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer. Don't let this ridiculous situation right now in New York, don't let that kind of waver on how you think of Russell Wilson. Russ, the Hall of Famer. I dare you to go back and watch some of those games with the Seahawks. I mean, he did things that only Wilson can do. I know he was bad in Denver. I know he was bad other places. But remember Russ for Seattle. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Number two.
That brings us directly into our second topic of conversation, the NFL Hall of Fame, because Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, and Philip Rivers are the newest class of players eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm going to take two of those three names I mentioned. Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald. Who was better at what they did? The better quarterback, Drew Brees. The better receiver, Larry Fitzgerald.
This is tricky because, dare I say it, Fitzgerald is great. Fitzgerald was never at one point the best receiver in the league. He was consistently, you know, in the top five. Brees is somewhat similar. Brees, outside of maybe 1 year, was never really the best quarterback at the position. Threw a lot of interceptions, threw a lot of passes, was great with passing yards. You know, he had a lot of playoff moments, but they're sort of in a similar category. But I grade greatness, and it's weird because Fitzgerald played for so long and had so many individual stats. Who was greater? Dare I say it's probably Brees.
This is tough because Brees, I don't think, was ever the best quarterback in any time either when he played.
No.
So I'm going to go.
They're in a similar category.
I'm going to go with Fitzgerald because, what, he's second in receiving touchdowns behind Jerry Rice. God, he played from like 2004. He played for a lot of years. I think he was the best receiver once upon a time. But if I had to go who was the best at what he did, I think it's Fitzgerald just because of the amount of great quarterbacks. I call it the golden age, you know, of Brady, Manning. I mean, throw Aaron Rodgers into the mix.
He did it without
too.
That.
Like, yeah. So I think I got to answer the question, I got to go with Fitzgerald, but I think both are first ballot Hall of Famers.
Let's move on.
Number three.
Ryder Cup going on. The ceremony is going on as we spoke earlier in the show. Well, I'm going to rewind to yesterday because I'm going to play some audio from the crowd at the Ryder Cup during the practice rounds, and you got to tell me who it is who's leading this chant. Fun little game. Take a listen.
All right, all three. Loud and clear now. Loud and proud, baby. Here we go.
Three. USA! 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 USA!
I gave you about four words of one person who said loud and proud now on three. Who was it who was leading the USA chant?
I think I got it. Is it Ed Orgeron, former LSU head coach?
Colin?
I'm only thinking of Orgeron right now, but was it?
You both are correct. It was.
So. Dude, hey, wow. It sounded exact. Go Tigers. No, I told you my cousin went to LSU.
Yeah, he's there.
A big Coach O guy.
He's just showing up. Yeah. He was sitting front row with the plebes. He wasn't beneath the ropes. Yeah. For some reason, Ed Orgeron was there. Do you think all class needs to go out the window at this year's Ryder Cup when it comes to rowdy New York fans trying to give Europe everything they got?
This is about the United States.
But like at the same time, this is what New York fan was born to do.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? Because like you know me being for like
the last three Ryder Cups are Midwest.
I can't stand New York fan. But this is America. We all band together. The New York fan was born for this, man.
I'm fine. I mean, completely in favor. I agree.
They were born to heckle the hell out of these Europeans.
Number five?
Yeah.
Number five.
I mean, mate.
The other end of that Jackson Dart, Russell Wilson situation was Russell Wilson. And what exactly is going to happen to him? Because are you going to let a guy getting paid $10.5 million ride the bench with a veteran presence? Or does he get shipped off elsewhere? Russell Wilson spoke to the media today. He had this to say.
You know, I think the other thing I can control is my work ethic and my preparation to be ready when my name's called again, because I know what I can do, and I know, I know I'm going to do it again. You know, so that's what I'm excited about.
Is someone going to trade for Russell Wilson, or is he going to ride the bench for the Giants throughout the rest of 2025?
I think he's there to rot. Now you got to try to be a vet. Do what Justin Fields did with you loud and proud last year. You got to do the same thing to Jackson Dart.
I think someone will end up trading for him. We already have a plethora. You know, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Justin Fields, Brock Purdy, J.J. McCarthy. Got a couple of names that are already hurt. What happens if other guys get hurt? People are going to need Wilson.
888-760-3776, the number to get into the program, numbered to get an opportunity to win a signed copy of Greeny and Hembo's new book. That's Mike Greenberg. Got Your Legends just came out. It ranks all 124 North American sports franchises and puts together their Mount Rushmore. Four of their most iconic players all throughout their history. They do it for every single franchise, hockey, baseball, football, and basketball. We're going to do the Dolphins. We're bringing in Greenberg on the other side. But first, if you want to win a signed copy, caller number, let's do three, and caller number five. What you got to do, guess one of the four members of the Miami Dolphins Mount Rushmore. There is four, and this could be executives, coaches, and players. Who is on the Miami Dolphins Mount Rushmore? Give one guess to Christian Cat in the break, 888-760-3776. If you get that guess right, you get a signed copy of Greenberg and Hembo's new book, Got Your Legends. 888-760-3776. Who's on the Dolphins Mount Rushmore? We'll talk to Mike Greenberg on the other side. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.